Meh.
Meh.
Wait.
Oh, first one's the same. We don't know yet. I forgot. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Late Night Hypnotic Insomniac. Chew on this and have a bologna sandwich with Davi Barker. Do you eat bologna sandwiches, Davi Barker?
No, I hate bologna.
Yeah, and you don't even know what's in bologna. You know, there's that thing on The Simpsons where they show the cartoon of it in school, and it's like it's a chart with all these arrows going into a hot dog, and it's like a whole cow, a whole pig, a boot, and a raccoon. That's what goes into hot dogs.
I like to call hot dogs protein cartridges. They don't actually qualify as meat in my mind.
And you know,
that doesn't mean they're not delicious.
You know, when you get them, they're kind of wrapped like belt cheese, belt fed cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same idea.
Yeah.
So they're easily dispensable munitions of protein.
No one makes money. That's what we were saying when we started. No one's making any money at Liberty.
And nobody makes any money. That's true.
Yeah. I made $500 from Hollywood. I'm going to say that every show until I have it in my hand. I don't know. I've been a filmmaker forever.
Get it on the record.
I've made 20 grand on filmmaking in my life, something like that. But yeah, none of it came from Hollywood. And apparently HBO is going to send me $500 to use a clip from my DIY or Die movie in the upcoming Dave Grohl movie. And I'm just going to say that every show because it's so unprofessional to say that. I shouldn't say how much I'm getting paid for anything. You shouldn't do that. Although this is a teaching hospital. So I will say.
Why is it unprofessional?
Oh, because you want to have an air of mystique and make yourself sound rich, you know, and people say, oh, how much did you make at that?
You want people to think you make more?
Maybe I could say, the mid three figures. How much did you make in filmmaking this year? Oh, I'm doing well. I made mid three figures. So you got a book.
Works for me.
You got a new study coming out.
This is my third book. It's already out. It's on Amazon, but we're working on the audiobook today, and this will be my first audiobook, and it's called Authoritarian Sociopathy, and it is an examination of the various sort of psychological
I think Davi got droned
with the APA, but should be done.
There you are. We lost a bunch of that. So, it's a book that, please repeat that from there, it's an audiobook that what?
It's a book that examines the various psychological experiments that have been done on obedience and authority and proposes a new experiment that can't be done under current APA ethical guidelines but is perfectly ethical.
So I'm assuming you're getting government funding to do this.
No, the whole point is that we can't get government funding. We're not passing those guidelines, and those guidelines are sort of designed to prevent you from doing anything meaningful in the realm of authority.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out how to do it with a crowdfunding thing. We have a Bitcoin address dedicated to it. We're going to run a Kickstarter in another month or so. And the book itself is sort of, you know, a fundraising tool to sort of get the idea of the experiment. The experiment is designed. I've been talking with psychologists and ethicists and everybody, making sure it's all valid. It's just a matter of doing it now.
Yeah, and of course I was kidding when I said that you're getting government funding, because that would be absurd.
That would be unethical.
It would be unethical. First of all, and second of all, it would be like, you know, getting money from the Ham Council to study the safety of ham.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody makes any money. We're just talking about that.
No money out there.
Yeah. There's no money. All the liberals stole it all, or all the Republicans stole it all. I don't know who stole it. No, it's basically,
I guess the Fed makes money.
They create it out of thin air. They don't even have to print
it on paper.
There's
such thing as thick air. Is it like libertarianism? Is there thin and thick air?
Yeah, and like libertarianism, you want the thinner part rather than the thicker part. Although thin air means a lack of oxygen, but thick air, I think, would be air that you can cut with a fork and a knife, and that probably wouldn't be very good for you either.
That doesn't sound appetizing at all.
It doesn't sound appetizing.
I think we should talk about cats.
I think we should talk about cat care tips. So Ike Fien.
That's one tangent. I'm keeping score.
Ike Fien is one of the 8 or 9 friends I have who has the words Lysander Spooner in his email address somewhere. Seriously, I know like I remember one day. I know like 8 Lysander Spooners, and I know like 5 people whose last name are Freeman who are not related. one day I had in my email address, I had emails from four different Freemans and three different Lysander Spooners when I woke up one morning.
Well, nobody's real name is Freeman, right? That's like a made up name.
Some black people have that name. I went to school with two different schools with black guys whose last name was Freeman. It was a fairly common freed slave name.
That was given to freed slaves, right? No disrespect to them or their family, but that's still not a real surname. That's sort of like what they were given because the real surname was taken from them, right?
It became one, but it was kind of, like what's the equivalent? I guess the equivalent would be like, Nation of Islam people changing their last name to X.
Yeah.
Like a generic.
I think Bill Buford calls himself an abolitionist, right? It's the same motif. People call themselves freemen as a sort of homage to freed slaves, right?
Yeah, I gotta say, this is kind of weird. Of all the people I know, it seems like the ones with the last name Freeman are in jail more often than the ones that don't have that as a last name.
You don't say.
Yeah. It's because they're all activists who like to push the buttons of the sociopathists.
Because they like to go into court and refuse to give their legal name.
Yeah, probably. I think that was the thing that Ian Freeman was most recently threatened with jail with. And we're not laughing at that. We tip our hats that we don't take off in court. Well, I would, but we tip the hats that people won't take off in court to them. For their bravery, and we thank them for their service. But you got to laugh at the beast that would throw someone in jail for doing things that you happen to do when your last name is Freeman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely no disrespect to what they're doing. I think it's sort of, it is funny, especially Ian's story, because he was trying to make that his official name, and that's what they accused him of.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was exactly. Some sort of like weird bureaucratic snafu where it's like, oh, try to get this name. Now we know it's a fake name. So now we're going to charge you with using the fake name you tried to get.
It's
so bizarre.
Yep. So I have all these friends whose first name, last name, email name is Lysander Spooner. And I got this friend. Actually, now I have three or four friends who are using Fiend as their last name. And one of them, one of the co-hosts on the show, one of the co-hosts is Derek J. Freeman. And the other night we had Ian Freeman on with Derek J. Freeman. And one of the co-hosts on this show is Lysander Fiend, and I have five or six friends whose last name is Fiend.
Is there a Fiendman yet?
A Fiendman. There you go. Derek J. Fiendman.
That'd be good, right? If people get married and they're having kind of like an egalitarian partnership and they hyphenate, is it Freedman? Is it Freeman Fiend?
Freedman Fiendman. Feed me some fiends. Yeah. So Ike Fiend sent me this
gone too far.
Adorable picture of a kitten he rescued from a field where coyotes frequent. He saved this little tiny little furball from being coyote bait, and I salute him, and he is on the double secret public golden floppy disk of redemption for life for doing that. Oh, man.
Did you say double secret public?
Yeah.
So it's only one public.
Well, it's double secret. It's the opposite of double secret probation. It's double secret golden floppy disk of redemption. But the golden floppy disk of redemption will eventually be somewhere on the Namecoin blockchain. So it's, even though it's secret, it's public.
Okay.
Although I'm waiting for someone to come up with Fiendcoin or Wormcoin so we can have our own blockchain. But I'm kind of waiting to see what comes out with BitShares, because that's going to be a whole environment for creating new blockchains, and I'm very excited about it. So he sent me this picture of this kitten. It's adorable. And I gave him some cat care tips, and he said he didn't know any of these. And I'm not trying to embarrass him. I'm just saying, like, cat care is really simple, but there's a few tips we can give you to make it better. So if you rescue a kitten... And I asked you if you had any cat care tips, and you said you have a cat.
I've had many cats in my life.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
So you have a cat, right?
I do have a cat. His name is Lupe Fiasco.
Is it dead?
It is not dead.
Is it healthy?
I think that it's healthy. Yeah, I mean, he has feline HIV, but other than that, he's healthy.
Of course he does. You're from San Francisco. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry.
That's a terrible joke.
I had a rescue cat that died of feline HIV, and it's no joke. But yeah, so he's doing well. So you know something about cat care, so you can speak to this.
I mean, I feed him and I play with him, And, you know, sometimes I hold him and I try and train him. I think, you know, I think it's possible. I had a cat once that when he wanted something and he meowed, his name was Nafta. And when he would meow, I would go up to him and I would stand right over him, like with one foot on either side of each of his shoulders. And that was like the sign that he knew was like, okay, now run to what I want. And like, he learned this, that like, when I did that, that meant that if he ran to whatever it was he wanted, that was how he communicated to me. And sometimes it was the door and sometimes it was, you know, his food, or sometimes it was whatever, but he knew that he had my attention when I did that. And this cat doesn't get this language at all.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm trying to train him though. I think I've got him to run to his food when he's hungry, as opposed to just wandering around the apartment meowing.
I thought you meant to like train him to go into government buildings and do unauthorized FOIA requests for you or something.
Yeah, I want him to go in and steal government documents and leak them to the internet.
Not really.
Yeah. Ninja kitty.
Cats aren't well suited to that, although there actually is
he doesn't type very well.
Yeah, I know. There's actually software for detecting cat-like typing and playing a loud siren noise when your cats walk across your keyboard. It detects any three keys pressed together other than Control, Alt, and Delete.
And that wouldn't work for me because I do that all the time.
But if you search the term cat-like typing, you'll get the website instantly. It'll be the top search. Cat-like typing.
Okay. So give me some cat tips.
Okay. First of all, don't feed them milk. Cow's milk is not good for kittens or cats. If they're so young that they still need milk, you can go to like Petco or something and get some kind of kitten formula powder that you mix up. It's not real cat milk, but it's got what cats need. And I don't mean it's got electrolytes, yo. No, it's got what cats need. They can eat, they love wet food. They can eat dry food at a really young age. I mean, if they're like kittens, like less than a week old where their eyes aren't open, you probably need a book and need more information than I can give you. But also, if you find a kitten that's a stray and you decide to keep it, take it to a vet or to the SPCA. Call the vet or the SPCA and say, I found this kitten. What does it need? I don't have a lot of money. You know, sometimes like the SPCA will give it free shots and everything. And check it for worms. You got to make sure they don't have worms. A lot of times cats that have been outside have worms because they've been eating garbage. And we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends. Let's see if it says Freedom Fiends. I'm really curious. All my dreams are coming true.
You want to take bets?
No. I'm not hopeful because of what this music is right here. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends,
yay!
An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Davi.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message.
Yeah, we're trying to get Mr. Davi Barker back. We lost him. That's not a good thing. Think of the kittens. We need the kittens. We need to help the little kittens, Davi. Are you there, Davi?
I'm here, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. The cat unplugged the computer. I'm sorry. I'm going to blame cats.
It's jealous.
Talking about another cat.
I know. Don't talk about it. I know they're looking at me like, what are you planning? Okay. So let's see. We covered bring it to the vet or the SPCA, get it checked out. I used to be a kitten socializer for the SPCA. You know what that is?
Is that where you collect all the cats and then equally distribute them amongst the proletariat?
It does sound like that. No, it's where you, they give you a cat to bring home. It's kind of like a cat library or a kitten library. They give you a
neighbor does that.
Yeah, it's a volunteer
it's
job.
It's sort of like temporary foster or whatever for cats that are just need attention.
Yeah, and basically what you do is it's the greatest unpaid job in the world. You get a cat. You take a little class at the SPCA. You know, they probably do a background check to make sure you're not a kitten murderer. And you basically get one or two or three little kittens, you know, about a handful size kitten. And you bring them home for a month or two and just pet them and feed them and pet them. And they give you the food. They give you the litter. And you just love them. And then you bring them back and they give you different cats. And the point is, you have to socialize kittens. You have to be, you know, sociable
with them.
It's like
a subscription to breweries or whatever.
You get to pet the little kitties and love them and teach them that people are good, because then they're adoptable and they make good pets. If they don't socialize them, if they just have them in a cage and feed them but don't pet them, they're not very like, you know, they're not trusting of people, and they turn into what's called hissy spitters. Nobody wants a hissy spitter. So
our cat was sort of left in isolation for a long time when he was really young, and it's because of the FIV. He essentially had to stay in this garage because there are other animals in the house. And when we got him, he grabbed a hold of us, and like it was like he was so starved for attention that he just immediately sort of glommed onto us. But he doesn't trust anybody else.
Yeah,
like it's really hard to get him to warm up to anybody.
Yeah, we have two cats like that. We have three cats together all together. One of the cats is so friendly. I joke about this, but I'm serious. If someone were robbing our house, Charlie, and we weren't here, Charlie'd be rubbing up against their leg while they're robbing us. The other two, which we call the Squittens, Charlie's 15 and pretty healthy for an overweight 15-year-old cat. But she's sort of indoor outdoor-y. She goes in the backyard, which is enclosed, only when I'm here and can keep an eye out the window on her. But the other two, which we call the Squittens, are 7 years old. They're brothers. And they were not socialized for their first 6 months. Their mother was hit by a car. Some shelter had them, and they were in a cage. They were fed. They were, you know, given medical attention, but they weren't petted. And they do not trust anyone except us, and sometimes they barely trust us. Like, you know, especially early in the day, like they'll kind of look at us without kind of from a distance and not let us get near them and pet them. And then boy, every day they have to remember again, we're not going to eat them. And then by the end of the day, they're sleeping on our heads and stuff. So yeah,
he has some sort of disassociation between like parts of your body. Like he'll want to sit on your lap, but you better not pet him. Like you're like a different person. Your hands and your lap are different people.
So did he have kitty HIV when you got him?
Yeah, that was why we got him.
God bless you for doing that. That's really sweet. Most people be like, I don't want that cat.
Well, he was living in a garage, and there was a family with like six other animals, and they got him because he was a rescue. And then they're like, oh, he's a rescue, but he can't be with these other animals. And so they just had him in a garage, and it wasn't because they were mean to him. It was because they couldn't do anything else. And so, you know, they found us.
Do you have to give him any medication for his condition?
No, nothing. I mean, if he catches, it's just like HIV, right? Like there will be eventually some opportunistic infection that we'll have to nurse. But right now he's healthy.
Cool. That's really sweet of you. I like that. So socializing kittens, here's how you do it. A lot of times cats that have never been around people do not want to be petted. And this sounds really unintuitive, especially to libertarians. You have to make them let you pet them. Because if you don't, yeah, I mean, you don't use force. You don't hurt them, but you just have to pick them up and pet them. And if they won't let you pet them, you wrap them in a little towel gently, like a kitty burrito. So just their head sticking out. You sit there watching TV and just pet them. That's what the SPCA told me, and it works. It makes them trust people eventually. You have to be the government.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, with Davey Barker. Sorry I was took so long getting back here. I was, you know, just going through my daily, the death threats I get as a Bitcoin millionaire. Not really. Didn't she say something like, all the people into Bitcoin are rich?
No, people think that, though. People, I meet people who, like, they see me on the Bitcoin group or something, and they think I'm rich because, like, I'm into Bitcoin, and I was obviously into it before them, so obviously I made my millions on Bitcoin. And they just assume. And so some of these guys who've been in it longer than me, like, people think that they're, like, just dripping in money. And I don't think a lot of them are. I think a lot of them did what I did and bought gold or something early on. So, you know, don't assume that people who are into Bitcoin are rich because, well, in this case, don't extort people because you think they're rich.
Yeah. I don't need to be rich because I can be my own bodyguard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Roger Ver is legitimately rich, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But somebody tried to take his money. Somebody acted like the government. They sent him a you owe us money for.
They sent him an extortion letter.
For no services. Yeah, they basically tried to tax him, and it didn't work out too well.
We're providing you the service of protecting your identity from us.
Yeah.
And in exchange, we want 37 Bitcoin.
Sounds legit.
Sure. I mean, you know, if they're not going to protect his identity, somebody else will.
Okay, so who is Roger Ver, and then what happened?
So Roger Ver is sort of known as the Bitcoin Jesus. I don't know if he appreciates that title, so I'd like to call him Bitcoin Johnny Appleseed.
Isn't that his Twitter handle, though?
Is it? Well, then I guess he does appreciate that handle.
I think so. I'm not sure.
But anyway.
It might be one of those things of, like, you know, you get called something long enough, you just start calling yourself because, you know, it's not going to go away, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But he got that title because he's sort of a philanthropist. He was an early adopter in Bitcoin. He used to run a little software electronics company, and he still does. But, you know, he's an early adopter, and he made a bunch of money in Bitcoin. And he used to be known for sort of giving it away to people. He used to go around New Hampshire and hand out Cassatius coins that all had, like, one Bitcoin on them. He got a lot of people into it, and he's sort of started a number of firms. And he's the – I think he's the CEO – or at least, I'm not sure what his title is, but anyway, he is the founder of blockchain.info, which is one of the largest Bitcoin websites that there is. And so, you know, you don't mess with him. He knows what he's doing,
yeah.
You know? And so this guy, so the way the story goes is somebody hacked into an old Hotmail account that he hasn't used in like 10 years. And used that to sort of change passwords and get access to some other accounts. And eventually they sort of said, hey, I've got your social security number and I've got your other things. I'm going to make your life hell unless you give me 37 Bitcoin, which is quite a bit of money.
Now, I think that one of the takeaways of this is don't forget about accounts that you had a long time ago that might still have information on them. You know, like I wonder what people have hidden in their MySpace accounts that they're like, oh, is that thing still around? I don't need to go change my password ever on that. Or, you know, the old Hotmail account that you registered the domain with 10 years ago. I mean, that's how this guy got in. That's how someone got into this. And they got in with, like, really low-level hacking. It wasn't brute force encryption hacking. It was like, you know, what is your dog's first name? And he probably posted it on a blog post at some point. You know, that's how they got into Jessica Simpson's remember that scandal a bunch of years ago where, like, somebody posted nude pictures of Jessica Simpson that they took off of her BlackBerry?
No.
They did. And what it was the default password hint for blackberries at the time was, what is your favorite pet? And she stupidly used the name of that little, you know, taco-sized dog that she keeps in her purse that was like the co-star of her reality show with her. That's how okay. she got hacked.
You know, at this point in the game, I would have to hack those old accounts. I don't know. I had dozens of Hotmail accounts back when that was new. And I don't know what any of them, any of those passwords are anymore. So I don't know what information is there anymore.
Yeah. I always used the joke of for passwords. When I'm talking about passwords, my default, you know, BS password is Purple Monkey Dishwasher. And at one point, Nima was like, I kind of think that probably is your password for everything, Michael, isn't it? Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
I use the Spaceballs password, 12345. It works for everything.
Yeah. Well, I lost, you know, I lost 3 Bitcoin at one point, right? Because I forgot the password.
Was that the password?
Purple Monkey Dishwasher. No, I don't know. I don't know if it, no, because I tried Purple Monkey Dishwasher and all variations of it. I spent about 40 hours in 1 week, like 6 or 8 hours a day for like 5 or 6 days, 7 days, like typing. You know, it was basically like one of those times where when Bitcoin went up to $1,000, I was like, I'm getting this out of here.
Yeah.
And never did.
I lost 3 Bitcoin once with the blockchain.info phone app. Trying to send $3 to the EFF, I accidentally sent 3 Bitcoin to the EFF. And I forget, yeah, it was for a good cause.
And they don't even take Bitcoin anymore. They stopped doing that because they didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, they do. Don't, I'm sure they do. They gave me a donation QR. I still send Bitcoin to them. Does this go anywhere?
I think, okay. I'm gonna research that while you read more about Roger Ver and talk about what happened.
Okay, so first off, Roger Ver is sort of known for doing these very he's a publicity guy. His thing is he uses his Bitcoin to promote Bitcoin adoption in these sort of very over the top sort of demonstrations. And so one of them was he predicted that Bitcoin would do 200 times better than gold in 2 years, and he bet like $1 million on it. And then when it took 2 years and 2 months, he said, oh, well, I lost that bet, so I'm going to donate $1 million to like the Foundation for Economic Education or something like that.
Fee.
So when this guy threatened him, he said, oh, well, if you know, if 37 Bitcoin is the price of my identity, well, then I'm going to put a 37 Bitcoin bounty on your identity. And he just sort of said, I'll give 37 Bitcoin to whoever can provide, you know, actionable information against this person who's threatening to extort me. And the guy changed his tune real fast. There's these chat logs from Skype. I guess that's how the guy finally got a hold of him, was he started a chat log with him on Skype. Which if that's ever happened to me, I don't know. I don't use that chat function. But it turned around really quick. I think the interesting thing about this is that this is exactly what the Dread Pirate Roberts is accused of doing.
I thought he's accused of putting a hit on somebody, like getting him shot.
Well, yeah, it's a little more serious. Yeah,
although
Roger's just asking for information.
Yeah, and the Dread Pirates guy, Dread Pirate Roberts guy, probably didn't actually do that. I think, because they've never charged him with that. They've accused him of that.
No, I don't think that he really did it either.
I think that was
one of these unindicted charges, right?
I think it's something. I think it's a rumor the government started, so they thought the libertarians wouldn't like the guy anymore. But they don't know the libertarians we know. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not making any threats. I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't know, people in New Hampshire, you know, chalk stuff on sidewalks, you know, Wyoming libertarians, like, that would never ever happen here. I mean, I support their right to do it, but I just think it's silly. I would never do it.
Wyoming, the chalking thing?
Yeah, Wyoming libertarians are more likely to, like, spend their time out in the sticks, you know, practicing shooting a dinner plate at 400 yards. That's a lot more fun to me than, like, going to the town square and irking some squares.
I think New Hampshire libertarians do that. It's just not pressworthy, and so we don't read about it.
I don't know if there is a big rifle culture in New Hampshire, though. It's hard. There's a lot more of it in the western states because there's a lot more room. You know, you can't. Yeah. It's hard to. I know people that have 1,000-yard rifle ranges on their property.
I know there's a DIY build your own AK-47 workshop at Porkfest this year.
Yeah, but where are you going to shoot it? Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. The only time I've gone shooting with Free State Project members is in Arizona.
Yeah.
When I was in Arizona, I went shooting with Pete Ayer and Alma Summer.
Public rifle ranges or places you can shoot legally with a rifle over 400 yards are really rare out back east.
I don't know whether or not where we were was legal. I didn't get the impression that it was.
In Wyoming, there's thousands of places where you can go literally on state public land where there's nobody around and shoot up to 1,000 yards. No problem.
Easy. This guy apparently asked Roger if he was going to hire a hit on him.
Yeah, that's what I was leading up to. And I'm not implying that I'm going to shoot anybody. I just like being able to shoot a dinner plate at 400 yards. It's fun. It's a good skill to have. And, you know, the chalk. Have you seen the chalk that they use in New Hampshire? It's like assault chalk, man. It's like the size of like three hot dogs duct taped together.
What does that mean, assault chalk? Like it's a high capacity magazine of chalk.
I just felt like making it up because it seems like the people there are responding like it's some kind of weapon. It's assault chalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dangerous stuff.
They're having a town meeting this week, I think, or next week to decide whether to outlaw chalk or not. Maybe they'll just put a mag capacity on chalk. Like you can't have over a certain size.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so this guy.
I love how much the response to this bounty was. Like, people are just itching to get this guy's information. His usernames are in this article: Nitrous Savaged Clerk 1337. Like,
yeah, and he probably didn't use like regular Bitcoin security measures. Like, you know, one of the ways to be more secure with Bitcoin is to make a different address for every transaction. I'd be willing to bet this guy has used these usernames for years. You know, he should have made up a username of like, you know, ripping off Bitcoin Jesus or something. That should have, you know, he should have made a one use name for it. I'll bet he didn't. But yeah, it sounded like he thought that the bounty for his identity was going to turn into a bounty on his head, which is kind of funny.
I mean, I guess you just chalk it up to crooks or dumb. I mean, doesn't this kind of sound like the tech version of those old sort of like the thief that like robs the electronic store next to the donut shop kind of thing, like
or the bank robber that writes the give me the money I have a gun note on one of his own printed deposit slips with his name on it. Goes in. That's happened more than once, and there's a famous one where a guy went into a bank, was going to rob the bank or was going to take money out, filled out a withdrawal slip with his name and account number, realized he didn't have enough money in his account, and then flipped it over and wrote a "I have a gun, give me all the money" note on the back of it and handed it to them.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of the things that criminals get busted for are basic stupidity. I really think that the issue is, thankfully, I think a lot of criminals think that they're sociopaths, and sociopaths generally think they're invincible. So they do stupid things. Like,
I could see that. If there's the right kind of drugs involved.
Yeah, I mean, and also like drug dealers, you know, talking over open email and non-encrypted phone lines, making drug deals and using code like, yes, I want four teens, you know, for a tenth or something. I don't know what it is. An eighth?
I think it's a nice precedent for stateless justice.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Right. This is Michael Dean, Halting and Catching Fire. My brain is working so hard, and yeah, I love that show. So we're talking about Roger Ver. We're talking about guns. We're talking about prairie justice. You know, I don't really love AR-15s that much. First of all, they're government guns. They're so government-y to me. And, you know, every government has used some gun somewhere. But, you know,
That's not true. I bet that there is not a government agent anywhere who has fired a 3D printed gun, at least not on duty.
I'll bet someone from the ATF has. I'll bet as soon as the plans were released and the video was released, someone at the ATF said, okay, is this a hoax or not? Get one of these. Get someone that knows how to print. Print one.
Yeah, let's try it. Research purposes, but not like as their sidearm while they're on duty.
Why would anyone in the world carry one of those Cody Wilson 3D printed guns as a sidearm? That's ridiculous.
Because it's hip.
No, it's... anybody listening could walk into their garage right now and make a better gun than the Cody Wilson 3D printed gun. It's not a good gun. It's political theater. And, you know, yeah, it'll probably develop into better 3D printed guns. And I know that there's a video by that rapper MIA, who I really dig her, and I want to talk about her at some point, that Tamil uprising, Tamil rights, Sri Lankan British rapper, who's really great. I love her music. I love her whole vibe. She has a video where they are printing 3D printed guns and holding them. And if the video is not faked, they're printing something that looks exactly like a Tech 9. And I really doubt they're printing, you know, full auto 3D printed guns, but it might fire more than one. I know that somebody has made plans after Cody made his gun and he stopped because he was facing prison time and still is facing prison time for having done that. You know, the federal government can work at glacial rates, and I think they're just scaring him to see what they're going to do and decide and see where it goes. But somebody has developed a 3D printed gun with four rotating barrels, so you can fire four shots, you know, kind of like,
yeah, I've seen that. It looks like a steampunk gun,
right? Like before there were the revolvers they have now. That was the first double, you know, more than one shot gun was something that had four barrels. It was called a pepper box gun. I've seen one
just
in a museum.
Think about like how quickly like decentralized developers solved the spring problem and the
firing pin problem.
The firing pin problem.
Yeah, it's a nail, just like every homemade zip gun.
Right. So, I mean, like if you figure like that was solved so quickly. If you think about how much time has passed since the sort of The Liberator was released, there's got to be all kinds of different designs for 3D printed guns that are out there, that are being tested, that are being developed, that are way ahead of what we've like seen and what was worth a headline, you know?
Yep. And but yeah, I like deer rifles. I like single shot bolt action scoped deer rifles. They're a lot more fun to fire.
It'll probably be a while before we're 3D printing long guns.
Yeah. And you know, you can't, I don't think you could print rifling that would work, maybe not more than once or maybe not at all. But, you know, the plastics will probably change, too. They probably pretty soon will have 3D printed materials that are soft and can be extruded like that, that are like metal once they're hardened. And I know that somebody's 3D sintered a metal gun copy of a 1911, but that's not really 3D printing. That's a whole other process. Sure. And you know, 3D printers, you can print a gun on, you can get them used for $500. A 3D sinter is like 10 grand. It's not something the average person can get a hold of, and it requires some work. But yeah, I like non-government guns, and they're really, I guess all modern guns are probably have been used by some government at some time. But the AR-15 is just such a, you know, that design is just such a tool of empire to me. And I guess it's a well-designed one, and it's gone through a bunch of decades to where they're pretty reliable. They weren't in the Vietnam War, but they are now. And a lot of people really swear by them, but they're not very good out past 400 yards, whereas a 308 deer rifle, you know, up to 1,000 yards. Heck, you can buy a $75 Mosin Nagant from World War II and get Cold War surplus ammo, and they'll take a deer at 1,000 yards, man. I don't know what this has to do with anything we were talking about, but, you know, all tangents all the time. That's the new Freedom Fiends motto. The tangent is better than the topic. That's our other motto. The tangent is tastier than the topic.
How about the tangent is the new gun?
The tangent is mightier than the sword or gun. We'll be back with Hour 2 with Davy Barker, the Shiny Badger, and Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, on the Freedom Fiends with our new Freedom Fiends branded music, finally. Thank you, George.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially
do not want you to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Okay. Yo. Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean, Dobby Barker. Dobby, what did you just ask me during the break?
I wanted to know if any part of Mark's blow-up last week felt kind of calculated to you or scripted or... There's something about it that feels like a calculated risk to me, but I don't quite know what it is.
Yeah, I was paid 2 Bitcoin to script that whole thing, and we rehearsed it over video Skype for 2 evenings.
Well, there you go. Solves that problem.
I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I was thinking of starting that rumor, but I don't want to. I don't want to lie. It's too. So back to guns. I don't like AR-15s. I like AK-47s, probably because like Americans just hate them because they, you know, they're like the weapon of communism, but they're really well made. And I guess they're the weapon of, you know, people called terrorists now. But I was actually shooting one at a public range here in Wyoming once, and this guy came over to me and he goes, "I don't like those rifles." And I'm like, "Why not?" And he's like, "Because I got shot at with them in Vietnam." And I'm like, "That's so weird. Like a gun person hating a model of gun."
You should have told him guns don't kill people. People kill people.
I felt like saying that, but the guy just looked like he needed a break, man, or he would have hit me or both. So I just let him say it. It didn't seem like a violent vibe. And, you know, I had an AK-47 in my hand, so I wasn't afraid of him. But
that is one thick gun owner right there.
That is a thick gun owner. Yeah, it's like guns. You know, it reminds me of like liberals who were like, "Oh, well, you can have a single shot shotgun for duck hunting, but you can't have a semi-automatic or full 30-round mag." You know, it sounds like blaming the gun to me.
Yeah.
Blame the rifle. Yeah, blame the fact that Americans were taken over there and dropped in there to shoot at people who were defending their land. Did I just lose
our... Did you tell him that? Is that what you said?
No. Did we just lose our one...
How do you think he would have taken that?
Did we just lose our one radio station? Okay, so we have a caller, and you guys are going to talk about Star Trek and cats. I'll talk about cats, but I'm going to go back to answering my death threats while you guys are talking about Star Trek, because I don't know much about it, man. And you know, okay. It always seemed like... to me, there's two kinds of libertarian, there's two kinds of science fiction. There's the libertarian kind, like the Heinlein kind, and the Joss Whedon kind, although he's not a libertarian. And then there's like the kind where, you know, the hero is the, who do the people on the Enterprise work for? The Borg? No, who is it?
Starfleet.
They work for...
You mean
for
like the big, the bureaucratic
Federation.
Where,
is it the Federation?
Yeah. The United Federation
of
Planets.
They basically work
UN
for the intergalactic UN. Yeah, it's... I can't get down with that, man. So
I know. You know, becoming an adult and learning about the world has kind of ruined Star Trek for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, me too.
But when I was a kid, it was the coolest thing ever.
Well, I like it. In the original series, you can kind of think of it, you can kind of suspend your statism if you think of Captain Kirk treating the ship like his, you know, or like his own personal ship. Because a lot of the time, they actually do seem to act as if the ship is the personal toy of the senior staff for some reason.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about, I'm guessing you want to talk about Spot.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up Spot because you were talking about training cats, and so I immediately thought of that iconic quote from that season 7 episode where Geordi borrows the cat of the android to test it out, and when it scratches up all his furniture, he returns it to Commander Data, the android, and he... when he's kind of feeding the cat, he says something like, I've trained Spot to do X, Y, Z. And then when the cat meows, you can see him turn and order like a specific number of cat food. Like he has his different cat food blends and on a list and they're all numbered. And he can tell which one the cat wants by the way it meows or something. And so that prompts the other guy to say, "Well, I don't know if you've trained the cat, but the cat's clearly trained you."
Right, exactly. I mean, absolutely. There is a sense in which, hey, are you guys hearing these ads?
No.
Huh? I just had a big old loud piece of commercial come out, but I'm guessing it's in one of these tabs that I've got. So
here's the thing. It's like, I guess me complaining about AR-15s isn't really fair, saying they're government guns. That's exactly like the guy saying, I don't like AK-47s because that's what I was shot at within Vietnam. But I guess the thing is, it's like there's so many Americans who are trying to go back to the Constitution who have AR-15s because it's the same thing they say their occupiers have. But they're waving the same flag as their occupiers, man. I don't get it.
Problem solved. It was the German weed article.
Oh.
I gotta say, I boycott. I'm not going to that website anymore. If you have audio that autoplays on your website, I will not visit your website.
More and more.
I think that is a violation of something.
You should send him a bill. Send him a bill.
Send him a bill. Yeah. Yeah. Listen to your ad. I want my, half a cent playing ads on your site.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I am really glad that Windows 7 or whatever, Windows 8 now has the, shows you the audio that each application is, making, so you can mute it on a, per application basis. Because that really annoys you.
You know, that's the first time I've heard that sentence come out of anyone's mouth. I really like Windows 8 because I've never heard that before.
I said Windows 7 or 8 or you
okay,
know.
Okay. I thought it was because 7 and then you corrected yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of an obvious feature to have because you don't want your applications to be blaring music at you or,
If people are complaining, listening to this, thinking they're not talking about tyranny, you know what? There's a lot of that out there. We don't need to copy that. This is the show that would exist in LibHair. After the government's
gone. There's
plenty
of tyranny in Star Trek.
No, but this show is it's all Star Trek, all cats, all tangent, all the time.
Yeah, but Data is the coolest guy on Star Trek because he's the only one who has a cat.
What were you guys talking about before I came back with my AR-15?
There's this great meme.
We're just going to talk over each other and see who wins. What were you guys talking about when I came back from answering my death threats?
We were talking about Spot and whether or not Spot was training Data or Data was training Spot.
Cool. I like that.
Spot is Data's cat for the record. And there are probably like 5 or 6 different cats that played Spot in various episodes of Star Trek because he always looked different. But
that's pretty common in animal actors. And it's not that they just die out. I mean, actually, like they'll have 3 lassies in the same season. It's because it's really hard to get animals to comply on film. Especially back when they were shooting film and it wasn't video and it cost a lot per minute. And a lot of times animal actors will comply for a while and then you have to bring in the next lookalike one.
Did Spot even change gender? Was he a transgender cat?
He may have been, or she, or Z, or whatever.
He was trans species because he was transformed into a lizard in one episode.
He did transform into a lizard. Oh, that was such, that's one of my all-time favorite Star Trek episodes, actually.
I answered your EFF question, too. I forgot to say it, though. I found the answer. They have taken Bitcoin, stopped taking Bitcoin, and taken Bitcoin so many times, I can't tell if they're still taking Bitcoin. And on their donation page, there's no option for Bitcoin currently. Oh, yeah, there is. Never mind. Found it. I'm stupid. Okay, but it says
they changed it just now.
Okay, but to pay with Bitcoin, you have to put in your name and address.
Yeah, you don't have to do that if you go to shinybadges.com. I contacted them personally to get a QR code so that it could be done on my website without giving any personal information. So if you go to causes.shinybadges.com, there is both the anonymous pin, which contributes to EFF if you purchase it, but there's also a donation QR code for EFF there that you can donate to directly.
Okay. Cat food fund one of your causes?
No, sorry.
That's okay.
My cats are okay.
Yeah, that was.
Have you seen this meme? There's this great meme. This just tickles me. It's a picture of Data, and he's sitting at the helm, those big computers, and they're touch screens, right? Uh-huh. And that's how they navigate the ship. And it says Data, the world's first touchscreen Android.
That's nice.
Yeah, I think that was actually, you might have also missed the part where we said that Data is kind of, he's an Android. So he's kind of more logical, shall we say, than the rest of the crew.
He's the Spock of the next generation, yeah.
Yeah, and he has all his cat dishes listed, and he has a big list of feline supplements numbered from like 1 to 1,000, and he decides on which one to use based on his mood or the time of day or whatnot.
I think he's the template for Sheldon Cooper, even visually.
Oh, absolutely he is.
Yeah.
This is something that they learned about Star Trek. It's if you go through the different Star Treks, like the Spock character evolves into more and more like Sheldon Cooper all the time. Like it starts as Spock, right? And then it's Data. And then it's like if you look at like Voyager, there's Tuvok, who's a Vulcan. There's Seven of Nine, who's a Borg. And there's the Doctor, who's a hologram.
But Sheldon Cooper is
only the Doctor became a good character.
Sheldon Cooper is a fan is a fan mostly of Spock, though, because it'd be too obvious to have him be a fan of Data.
And no, he's a fan of Data. They did a cosplay episode. He dresses up as Data.
Yeah, but the actor who plays Data does not have a restraining order on Sheldon Cooper, unlike Spock.
Yeah, he has Spock's DNA.
Here's my question for Michael then, because I haven't actually seen a lot of that show. Does he develop emotions and more interpersonal skills as the show goes on?
No,
because on Star Trek, Data sort of did. And then at the very end, they said, "Okay, you can have a chip that makes you completely normal now."
No, I think I think Sheldon Cooper kind of emulates human empathy. He's kind of sociopathic too. He talks about when I'm emperor of the universe, and he doesn't sound like he's kidding. Whereas I am kidding when I say when I'm libertarian emperor of the universe.
Well, yeah, he believes in a kind of like scientific elite where he is the only scientist, right?
Or where scientists have replaced government and make all the decisions because they're wiser, which is
technocracy, right?
Yeah, it's a really common thing with smart people, with ultra smart people, especially if they're ultra smart in one narrow field like DNA
like
or something.
Physics.
Yeah, like they think they know how to organize the economy of society.
Which is weird when you think about it, because the whole point of getting a PhD is to specialize in one narrow area and then expand that area of human knowledge a tiny bit.
And generally be funded by the government or the military-industrial complex part of the government.
I wonder how Starfleet receives their funding. They never discuss it on the show.
There is
I'm
no
sure
funding
it's all voluntarily
They've
donated
abolished
by
money.
Bitcoin.
Have they abolished money in Star Trek?
Yeah. No, they tried to abolish
Don't
money.
Don't they have credits?
No,
they did on the original show, and then they didn't, and then they did. They kind of go on and off with that.
The original show was really hippie. A lot of sci-fi was back then, too. What's the one? Twilight Zone was really hippie, and I liked it in a way because it was like anti-war, but it was like hippies. They got all the right things right and all the wrong things wrong, all the right things wrong, too. You know, it was anti-racist, it was anti-war. But it was also anti-commerce and, anti-guns. We'll be back with more from Nathan and Davi and Star Trek on the Freedom Fiends.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. You know you want it. You know you want the Freedom Fiends. I can tell by the way you're dressed, wearing that cop block badge, that shiny badge, Yeah, you want the Freedom Fiends.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I don't like it. I want to pull it back. So, yeah, Star Trek, didn't they actually have – it was kind of hippie, but didn't they actually have hippies as a boarding party one time?
Yeah, yeah, on the original show.
There was an episode of the original Star Trek called The Way to Eden, and it was about these hippies that were like traveling through space looking for Eden.
I'm just groaning hearing you even just say the title of that episode.
Yeah, because you remember the guy with his weird guitar, like singing his weird hippie songs.
And for some reason, Spock was really into it. You know, like he was even playing the instrument in one scene, and
well, it was magic, right? The guitar or something about it, like it hypnotized people and made them want to be hippies too. I don't remember exactly.
Maybe. I thought the episode with the guy with the mustache and the robot women was far more interesting because he got the robots to self-destruct by saying, "Listen to me carefully. I am lying."
I don't remember that one.
Cops should have to say when they talk to you.
Just full disclosure, I'm lying to you right now.
Yes.
Or just Ian said casually on a Free Talk Live last week that cops are trained to lie. Is that true?
I'm pretty sure they're allowed to lie. They're definitely allowed to lie.
Yeah, but the way he said trained, as in like given courses and instruction, and this is how you lie, and you know.
I think what he means by that is there are statements that are part of their training. They're part of the sort of scripts that they're given that are designed to sound different than what they actually are. So like if a cop says to you, "I'm going to have to ask you to get out of the car," that sounds like an order, but it's not. He's asking you, right?
Well, they usually say it like an order, like, "I'm going to have to ask you."
Right. So that's I think what he means by training to lie, is that they're sort of trained to make requests sound like commands. If that makes sense. Maybe he means it explicitly. Maybe he means like they have training in lying.
Yeah, that's what I thought because
I'm shopping for tribbles.
Go ahead.
I'm shopping for tribbles.
Yeah, the trouble with tribbles.
You can buy tribbles with Bitcoin on gift.com.
I think the federal government would try to exterminate tribbles if they existed.
I think anybody would try to exterminate tribbles if they existed. They're born pregnant and they replicate like 1,000 times in a day. I think they would be a problem. I think I would be shooting tribbles in my front yard with an AK-47.
You know, at the same time, if they're made of any kind of protein, they could solve world hunger.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, they have fur, right? So they're mammals.
Yeah. Yeah, do they produce milk? They must. If they're males.
Apparently,
If they're born pregnant, do they
triple nips?
Oh, do you remember the episode where the officials from the Department of Time Travel Affairs came to the station to excoriate the captain over that?
Wow,
no,
that's square, man. You know, if there was time travel, the government would try to regulate it.
You know, I think do you guys have spent much time thinking about the Prime Directive? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I've seen. I've actually seen a series of reviews where this guy dissects it and talks about, you know, how it's just a big pile of you know what.
Michael, are you familiar with this concept?
I've heard the term Prime Directive, but I think it was on a parody on South Park.
Okay, so there's two. There's the normal Prime Directive, which means that spacefaring species should not interfere with non-spacefaring species until they get into space on their own. And the other is the Temporal Prime Directive, which is sort of like part of every time travel movie ever, which means if you go back in time, don't change anything because it'll have irreparable damage to the timeline.
Yeah.
And part of that I love is how they have actual bureaucrats from the Department of Time Travel show up and talk about that.
Right. But I've always thought, like, this seems like the staple of sci-fi, that if time travel were possible, you shouldn't tamper with anything. And I have to ask why. Like, why is it that your timeline is given precedence over whatever the other timeline is? I feel like a temporal non-aggression principle would be better than a temporal prime directive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, sometimes the spatial prime directive, shall we call it, is compared unfavorably to libertarians and the non-aggression principle.
I was just going to say that. I was, you know, are there thick time travelers and thin time travelers?
No. Yeah. Well, I was thinking more of the interfering with warp-capable or space-capable civilizations, because a lot of people compare it to libertarians and they say, "Oh, well, you don't want to get involved with you know, XYZ, or you're an isolationist," and that's kind of compared to, you know, leaving the non-space traveling guys alone.
We'll be back with more on Tribble Chat on the Freedom Fiends when we get back. I bought two already. I'm looking for a third.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Welcome back to Tribble Chat here on the Freedom Fiends. You know, I was looking for this picture. I had this great picture from about six years ago when my cat Fuzzy was about 1 year old. And he's really fuzzy and he's gray. And I photoshopped out his face and he totally looked like a tribble. But I can't find it. I'd really like to use it for this episode. But it's astonishing how much that cat looks like a tribble once you photoshop his face away. So I was thinking about Star Trek and Bitcoin. Doesn't Bitcoin sound like it should have been the money on the original Star Trek?
Yes. If Gene Roddenberry were not such a socialist, there should have been something like Bitcoin as money.
I mean, you know, if they'd had what I call a radio, there's something called a radio line, which is on TV where someone's like, "Look, he's got a gun," when they've obviously got a gun. That's called a radio line. It's like the kind of writing, bad writing for TV that you'd use if it was radio and you couldn't see that he has a gun.
Okay.
So, but a radio line, I also use that term for like over explaining things for the people in the cheap seats. You know, like if they'd had Bitcoin on Star Trek and at some point, you know, they'd written in some reason to explain how it works. You know, somebody's like, "What is this Bitcoin of which you speak?" "Well, it's a decentralized currency based on an encrypted blockchain ledger that prevents double spending." Like, that could have been writing in the original Star Trek. It would have worked.
Yeah,
and nobody would believe that it was possible.
Bitcoin is the currency in Almost Human, isn't it? Or one of these shows? Are you guys familiar with this?
No, what's that?
No.
I haven't actually watched this show, but supposedly there's a show out there that Bitcoin is it's sort of a near future show, and Bitcoin is the currency in the show, and they have these sort of weird debit cards that contain Bitcoin or whatever. So I'm sure that dialogue has happened in that show, and I know that it's happened in The Good Wife because there have been two episodes about Bitcoin in The Good Wife now.
Well, Scott Beezer in in Quantum Vibe included Namecoin at my suggestion. He talked about Free Speech Me, which was the thing I was pimping for Namecoin originally before we went off and created Meowbit. And he includes in a couple panels of that, Namecoin and Free Speech Me being some ancient technology that had been rediscovered by their head science master on the spaceship and was being used for something in the future. I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yep. So communism, we don't like it. But it's in Star Trek.
It doesn't make any sense in Star Trek because, first off, the replicator like does not destroy money the way that like Zeitgeist movement or the whatever they think that oh, well, the robots will create everything and then we won't have scarcity anymore and then we won't, you know, need commerce anymore. And that's not true. It's just the different things become scarce.
Yeah, and you know,
like your time, for example.
The Zeitgeist people don't understand commerce. They don't understand commerce because even if everything you wanted could be printed in your house at all times. Like even, you know, the raw materials for them would have to be delivered. You know, like strapless shoes that my wife likes aren't scarce, but she still has to order them because we don't live somewhere where we have a warehouse full of them already. And, you know, the beauty of the market is that you can go online and when someone mentions Tribbles and say, I want some live Tribbles and order them. You know, you didn't know, I didn't know an hour ago that I needed live Tribbles. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, I've got a little Bitcoin. I'm going to get some live Tribbles. And in a couple days, I'll have some live Tribbles at my house. So that's how the market works, because you don't know what you need at any given time until you need it. And the beauty of the market is you can get it now when you need
it. Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to predict that you wanted those Tribbles in the last election cycle. And that's what I think communists think that you, the you five-year know about plan. Your demand, yeah. Right?
You know, there's a... There's a company that gets domain. It's a domain name squatting company. I don't know what they're called, but they have this algorithm where like, okay, let's see. I used to have a site called clonethehomeless.com. It was my – it was a podcast. I had a podcast called Clone the Homeless. I just thought it was a funny name. And
it is.
I figured David like that. Like, yeah, there's not enough of them. Clone them. And when that expired, this company, like if you go to clonethehomeless.com, it brings up this page by this company. They get expired domains and register them and try to sell them to people. And their placeholder page always has search terms related to what it is, like donate to the homeless, you know, hoodies for the homeless, whatever will come up. But their motto at the top is what you want when you need it. And no matter what the domain is, that comes up. I really like that, that description. And it's really a good description of the market. I know what picture I'm actually going to use for this. It's a meme that was going around somewhere. I guess I got rid of it, but it was basically, it was a picture at the top of a bread line in the Soviet Union. And then on the bottom, it was a picture of a modern bakery in a Western, you know, in a non-communist country full of all kinds of bread. And it said, in communism, people wait for bread. In capitalism, bread waits for people.
Right on.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I know that you bring meme. That up. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to bring up a response to what Davi said a couple weeks ago. Davi, you brought up your favorite Star Trek episode for the market, and I have one too, although I didn't realize what it was until a couple days ago. But before I say it, I should probably point out there was a Star Trek episode that does kind of make them sound a little communist. Remember that Next Generation one where they thaw out three guys and one of them's a stockbroker?
Yes.
Oh, this is for people.
We've overcome the need to pursue petty material possessions.
For people who don't know, early Star Trek TNG, they were trying to copy the writing of the original Star Trek series and not doing it very well. And one of the things that Patrick Stewart often liked to do is get really self-righteous and deliver some kind of, speech, except, you know, really grating on, you know, kind of nails on chalkboard kind of speech.
I really hate speeches in movies and TV. They almost never work.
Well, his speech has always worked and always solved the problem that they faced, whatever it was. But early on, they were really really whiny. And in this one, he basically gives some speeches against capitalism and wealth and says, well, we don't acquire wealth. We're better people than you scumbags. It's basically what he's saying. And they just raked the stockbroker over the coals. He asked about his stocks. He asked about his portfolio. And he said, well, we don't need that anymore in the 24th century.
Where was Joe McCarthy's blacklist when you needed it? I'm kidding.
I don't know.
I'm kidding. But yeah, it was, you know, I would almost say if I believed in like central planning of the whole world where there's, you know, seven industrialists who drink owl's blood and make Bill Gates dance for billion-dollar bills, you know, they're so rich that they make Bill Gates look like a pauper. I would think that Joe McCarthy was sent by communists to spread communism because he went after people so violently and so in such an ugly way that after he was gone, you almost didn't dare point out communism when you saw it because you didn't want to be called McCarthyistic. It was kind of a reverse, you, sir, are worse than Hitler. And, I think McCarthy allowed communism to flourish in America in education and in media and be painted like a good thing because nobody dared criticize it.
I mean, it makes you seem comical to go around accusing people of being a communist now, even if they are.
Yeah. The only person I know of who's done it successfully was Glenn Beck, got one of Obama's guys thrown out, fired, by pointing out that he actually was an actual communist. It was the guy who came up with the Cash for Clunkers program. What was his name?
I don't know. Not That's Cass interesting, Sunstein. Though.
No, Cass Sunstein's going to be the next Supreme Court judge.
Wow.
That's my prediction.
I can only imagine what kind of rulings he's going to make.
Yeah.
Your cell phone, that's not personal. That's, that's no different than your, your keychain or your glove box.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be like North Korea where you have to apply to have a cell phone, like a gun permit in some states here.
Your keychain is not personal? What am I missing here?
I flubbed on that one.
I got it.
You have to apply for a cell phone in North Korea? Is there an actual form you fill out for that?
Yeah. Yep. You have to show a need for one. You don't just have one because you want one. Most people can't afford them there anyway.
Do they get, yeah. Is there, I mean, like, part of the value of a cell phone is the network effect of actually being able to talk to people.
Right.
Are there enough people in North Korea?
No, I think you'd just be calling government officials.
That's what I was about to say. You're probably only going to be calling people in the,
if you're a snitch,
whatever the party is called in North Korea, the Central Democratic People's Party, or I don't know what it's called.
It's a republic, not a democracy.
If you can keep it.
And I think they have free speech in the Constitution, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They have all the good stuff on paper.
So Star Trek, communism.
Oh, yeah. So I needed to tell Dobby the other one that actually shows the market at work. And
right.
You can probably, I don't know if you can guess what I'm about to say, but it's also a DS9 episode.
It's a Ferengi episode. It has to be.
Man, well, here's something about communism. Under the Cash for Clunkers program, to ensure that vehicles that were traded in under that program were not resold to dealers, they would have to – the motor oil was drained and replaced with sodium silicate solution. Then the engine is started and run until the solution, becoming glass-like when heated, causes the engine internals to abraze and ultimately seize. Man, government, just all they do is denature stuff. Like, they're paying people to turn in their cars and then basically like pour cement in the engines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they did in World War II or something with grain?
With grain? I don't know. One of my earliest memories as a kid in the 60s, I was born in 64, and when I was 4 or 5, I remember watching the news. I mean, of course, I was watching the Vietnam War. That was my really earliest memory. But one of the things I remember that stood out really strongly was a bunch of dairy farmers pouring milk down a sewer. And I didn't really understand what it was. What it was they were being paid by the government to destroy milk, to price fix it. And it just blew my mind because, you know, my parents were really big on eat your vegetables. There are children starving in India and Korea. And, you know, I'm like, why don't they give that milk to the starving children? And it's like,
that makes way too much sense.
Yeah. Somebody,
you just don't understand macroeconomics.
I know. Somebody should have just said to me, because the government, that's why.
Right. So, Nathan, hit me. What episode are you talking about?
I'm talking about Treachery, Faith, and the Great Ripper. And it starts out with a waiting list. They actually they need a part for the ship, and they're on a 3-week waiting list, and the engineering chief is pretty mad about it.
They don't have a 3D printer. They got everything else, but they don't have a 3D printer. All right, we'll be back with the final episode of the Freedom Fiends Triple Chat.
My
weird friends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Freedom Fiends. All tangents, all the time. This is the final segment, not the final episode. I misspoke before. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stay
on this
show.
Important distinction.
Yeah, we're going to be doing this show until I die of old age on the air, which Davi says I sound like sometime between the breaks. I was coughing the other day, and he's like, God, you sound like you're dying. I'm like, no, I just do that so I sound so alive. I get it out of my system during the break, so I sound so alive on the show. So you nerds are going to talk about Star Trek and like computer key shortcuts, and I don't even know what that is. So go ahead, kids.
The computer key shortcut thing is above my head, too. I'm really just sort of an entertainment nerd.
Well, it's mainly for people who use like Photoshop or whatever, and it has a bazillion functions that you have to press five different keys for, you know, to get everything. With a program like AutoHotkey, you can make it so, you know, instead of pressing five different keys while standing on your left foot and balancing a kitty on your hand, you can just hit one button.
I have a really cool program that I highly recommend. It's called Phrase Express Pro. I think it's one of the only pieces of software I've paid for in my life, and it was like $30. And actually, there's a free version of it that just nags you to pay for it, but I use it so much that I actually paid to take away the nag screen. Phrase Express Pro allows you to set up like two or three key shortcuts to paste phrases that you have to use over and over.
I was going to bring that up as an example. Yeah. Because if you have a URL you want to paste in a browser, I was reading the webpage for this program. It was talking about it. It said, well, you have to move the mouse, highlight it, hit a key, move the mouse again to click on the window, click in the little bar, then you have to hit paste and enter. And if you could assign all that to one key, then it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah. I'll give an example of one. I have one that's please share. I type bracket SH, and it types, this is for when people send me, you know, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but when people really like something that we said on the show and write me about it, it's a lot more useful if they post it as a comment on the blog under the episode than if they send me a glowing long comment that only I'm going to read. Sometimes I'll read them on the air, but generally it's like, you know, I love to hear if people like stuff I do, you know, because then I feel like I'm not shouting into the darkness. But it's a lot more useful to share it with other people. So I have this thing that when people send me something that I think should be on the blog and not just to me, I have this thing. I hit three keys and it types out, thanks. Hey, that's really cool. Would you please share it? Would you please post that as a comment on the episode for that so other people can see it too? Thanks a lot. And then I have one for like, hey, buy Freedom Fiends buttons. You know, everyone's going to hate
me. Wait a minute. I've
now
received this email before.
Have you really? I was just going to say, people are going to hate me. Have you really?
Yeah, I think I have.
Like since you were a host on the, not since you were a host on here, I don't
know. Yeah, since I was a host. I said something about a show and you said, yeah, I'll go put that. Yeah, I've received this email. I'm almost
embarrassed.
Certain.
Yeah.
That's cool. I do the same thing with editorial stuff. When people email me stuff about Daily Anarchist, I'm the editor at dailyanarchist.com, and there are only three or four different responses that I have to give. And so I have them all saved as drafts in my email.
Yeah.
I just changed who they're addressed to.
The really funny thing about this program, too, is that in it, you can enter what you think your time is worth per hour. And it gives you a running tab of how much money it claims it has saved you.
Weird.
Or no, you type how much money you think your time is worth per hour and how many words per minute you type. And, you know, this thing's telling me that it saved me like $1,200 in the past year or something. I don't really think it has.
Is this part of its nagging bot?
No, it is part of the nagging bot, but it's hidden and you have to find it once you pay for it.
I was thinking that you could use one of these programs to make Davi's form emails a lot easier. And, you know, just hit a hotkey and it'll give you three prompts, one for the name, one for their location, and then one for, you know, whatever the subject is. You just type them in.
You know, I hate to say it, but it sounds like what we're moving towards is just machines selling to machines and then eventually locking us out of our smart houses because we're no longer necessary to the equation.
Yeah.
And with that happy thought, I'm going to go
soon
watch.
Soon our email addresses will remember their own passwords.
I'm going to go watch Terminator 2 and edit this show. It's been good having Davi on, and thanks for calling in, Nathan. It's always a joy.
Yep.
Take care, brothers.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms, 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 worms. Worms, 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 worms. Worms. Worms, worms, worms. Worms. Worms, worms, worms.